Ways and Means Committee will come to order. Rosa, please call the roll.
Chair McClain.
Here.
Vice Chair Buchanan.
Here.
Majority Whip Lamarca.
Here.
Ranking Member Escamani.
Here.
Representatives Bankson.
Here.
Barnaby.
Here.
Burfield.
Here.
Campbell.
Here.
Caruso.
Here.
Costello. Daly. Duggan.
Here.
Fabricio.
Here.
Fernandez Barquin. Excuse. Hart.
Here.
Killebrew.
Yes, ma'am.
Rainer Goolsbee.
Here.
Roach.
Here.
Robinson. Excused. Roth.
Here.
Saroy. Excused. Smith.
Here.
Tant.
Here.
Valdez.
Good morning, President.
A quorum is present, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Rosa. Members, please let me remind you to silence all your electronic devices. Members, thank you for being here this morning. We'll get right into it. We've got four bills we're going to hear. First will be HB 451, Valuation of Timeshare Units by Chairman Fine. Chair, you're recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, members, and thank you, Mr. Chairman. I will be brief because I know folks probably want to get on the road to get home. This is a bill having to do with timeshares and changes some of the methodology for how they're evaluated for property tax purposes to ensure that the actual value of timeshares, not what the pre-sale value of timeshares is used in order to determine the property taxes that a timeshare owner pays, and that is the bill.
Thank you, Chair Fine. Members, are there questions on the bill? Representative Escamani, Ranking Member Escamani, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair McClain, and good morning, Chair Fine. I feel like I've seen this bill before, so forgive me, but I just want to make sure, what individuals would benefit from the property tax reduction that's in the staff analysis?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Those who own timeshares. And what prompted me to run this bill was I had people, individual consumers who owned timeshares, who basically, you know, look, we can all debate the wisdom of buying a timeshare, but they bought it and then, you know, they can't sell them for much, yet they're being assessed a property tax that's an order of magnitude higher than what the value of what they could actually sell it for was. And that's what led me to run the bill.
Follow-up, Chair.
You're recognized.
Thank you so much. Why not narrow it down just to individual homeowners versus also including developers of timeshares?
You recognize?
Because they're all timeshares. That's like saying that, you know, somebody who owns 10 condos in a condo building would be valued differently than someone who owns one condo in a condo building. So they're all timeshares, and we've used them the same.
Follow-up, Chair.
You recognize.
Thank you so much. What is the average, you know, resale value of a timeshare in Florida?
You recognize.
I can't answer that question for you. I don't know. But what I can tell you is timeshares are sort of like cars on steroids, if you think about it, right? When you buy a car, they always say you drive it off the lot and it's not worth what you paid for it. It's worth 20, 30, 40%. Timeshares, it's an even greater factor. The resale value of timeshares is generally very small. And my belief is that when my taxes are determined, they should be based on what something's worth is what I can sell it for. You know, back when I was starting to make a little bit of money and I'd complain to my dad that my clients weren't paying me enough, he would say, well, you're worth what they're willing to pay you, not what you think you're worth. And so that's kind of the premise here.
Follow-up, Chair?
You recognize.
Thank you so much. It's a very short bill, but I'm wondering, how do you define adequate? Is it just two comps or more? How would you define adequate?
You recognize.
Well, we don't define adequate. That's something that's in there. Really, the bulk of the bill, the bulk of the bill is when the taxpayer, says there are enough. What it refers to is this Uniform Standards of Professional Appraisal Practice. That's a standard methodology that's used all over the place. And so we're basically just saying they have to use that in order to determine the value of a timeshare. We're not defining, you know, what adequate number is, because we don't have to. We'll leave it up to the experts who develop these uniform standards to make those decisions.
Okay. Another question, Chair?
Could I have a couple other members? Can I let them jump in, or you want to?
Of course.
Go ahead, follow up. I'm sorry.
I just have one more. But
okay, yep, yes, ma'am. Yep.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair Fine. My understanding is that there's active litigation around this. What would be the effect on your bill with active litigation?
You recognize?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And there was, and the litigation ended actually a couple of days ago. And my understanding of the end of the litigation was the court said, you know, this is an issue for the legislature to decide, not for the courts to make a decision on. But had you asked me that question at the meeting on Monday, the answer would have been, yes, there is, and I don't know.
Representative Campbell, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Quick question. In regards to the bill analysis, the staff bill analysis, I'm looking at it, and it says that there would be a reoccurring negative impact on local government property tax revenues of $208.2 million, $77.5 million school taxes, $130.7 million on non-school taxes. Why is that?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, because timeshares are really, really overvalued today for the purposes of assessing property taxes.
You recognize for a follow-up.
So how does, how, if, and just, and I'm just trying to understand the measures of how much this would impact on, like, the municipalities. How is that going to, I guess, how, isn't that taken away from what we're trying to do with our schools and what the county is trying to do?
You recognize.
I think you can make an argument that there would be less tax revenue available. But what you have to think about, most probably, I don't know if anyone in here owns a timeshare, but let's talk about your house, all right? Let's assume that you could sell your house for $100,000, yet the property appraiser is valuing it at $300,000, at three times what you could actually sell it for. Yes, if they value it appropriately at $100,000, you're going to pay less taxes. That will have a negative fiscal impact. But is it fair to the person who owns a $100,000 house to pay taxes on it at $300,000? And to be clear, the folks who own timeshares are generally not, you know, millionaires and billionaires. They own vacation homes. Timeshares are a product that is primarily focused kind of on the middle to lower, you know, lower middle class as a vacation product, and it's got all kinds of, you know, issues that have been dealt with in other bills. So yes, this will have an effect on revenue, but is it fair for people to raise tax revenue by overcharging people for what their stuff is worth? I'd also say this isn't a uniform problem. Again, not all of our districts have a lot of timeshares, and frankly, not all of the districts that have a lot of timeshares have this issue. There are places that have a lot of timeshares that, and I don't want to take shots at particular appraisers, I'm not going to, but there are areas that do have a lot of timeshares where the appraisers are actually valuing them at what you could sell them for. This is not a uniform problem. And so I have some issues with the staff analysis, but what I would say is it's the bigger the fiscal, the bigger the problem. That's the way to look at it.
You recognize for a follow-up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Now, when this bill came before me, I have to be frank that I wasn't too familiar with timeshares. The only reason why I knew about timeshares is anytime I go to Disney World, they ask me to buy a timeshare. And so I'm assuming.
Did you get one? You can tell us if it worked.
He's asking the question.
Anytime I'm there, they're asking me to buy a timeshare. Now, I'm assuming that there's a lot of timeshares in Orlando and particularly around Disney. Now, that's owned by Disney. Now, is this a tax break to those types of companies like Disney?
You're recognized.
Thank you. And I wouldn't know anything about buying a timeshare at Disney. Me and none of my Republican colleagues are allowed to do that right now.
Oh, Jesus.
But,
thank you for that. That was what I needed this morning.
I'm clearly feeling a little punchy after this week. This would apply to all owners of timeshares. So, although I will tell you, since I'll kind of get behind your question, since I filed this bill, I've not spoken, well, probably for lots of reasons, but I've not spoken to Disney about the bill.
You're recognized for a follow-up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for that, Representative. And just a last, now, say, for instance, this bill passes the House and the Senate, be it that, you know, we do know that Disney does own it. Is this a bill that our governor would be would allow for it to be signed because of the implications on it?
You're recognized.
I've got no idea. I have not spoken. I've got other things to talk to him about other than timeshares, so I have no idea.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
It may have just killed
Representative Roth, you're recognized for a question. Okay. Representative Roach, you're recognized for a question.
Morning, Chair Fine. Thank you for bringing the bill. I know there's a question somewhat in jest, somewhat maybe about buying a timeshare at Disney, but I'm curious, given your work on this bill and everything you've learned about this bill, would you ever buy a timeshare?
Representative, Chairman, you're recognized to answer the question if you want to.
But it's not because of that. I mean, look, timeshares are a unique product. I actually once flew on an airplane with a guy who worked for a timeshare company, and he actually told me that this timeshare company, and I don't know how they all work, but they actually lose money selling the timeshares. They make all of their money on the financing that they put in place on the timeshares. They also spend a huge percentage of what you pay actually on marketing incentives for them. It's not a product, but again, I fall into the category of people who, you know, don't, you know, have to buy timeshares if they want to buy something. So no, I wouldn't buy it. But this is not really about the global issue with timeshares. It's simply an issue of those who have bought them, they then have to pay every year. They got to pay maintenance and other kinds of things to the timeshare company, but they also have to pay their taxes. And again, these are lower middle income people typically who are getting stuck with this sort of thing. And I just don't think it's fair to charge someone taxes on something that's not worth it. If you have a $30,000 car, you shouldn't be paying taxes on $100,000. Same with the house, same with anything else. Your taxes should be based on what something is worth. And timeshares are unique in the property market. Generally, you buy a piece of property is generally not like a car. You don't buy your house and then it goes down. You know, timeshares are like a car. And so I think we need to do a better job of valuing them. Oftentimes, the resale value of timeshares is just not that substantial. And I think that's part of the issue here.
Representative Hart, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning, Rep. I just had one question because the bill is a little broad and it doesn't give me much clarity. Can you walk me through and tell me what is it we're really trying to do? Are we just trying to reduce the values so that they make sense when somebody goes to sell it?
You recognize?
Thank you. That's a fair question. What we're trying to say, if there's a dispute over the valuation of a timeshare because there's an inadequate number of resales in order to form that valuation, that they will use not their judgment effectively, but they will use this uniform standards of professional appraisal practice. We're not telling them how to do it. We're saying follow these uniform standards. And again, what is happening in many cases today is they're taking the value of a timeshare and they're just cutting it in half. And then they're saying that's what it's worth. And it may not be worth half. By the way, think about it. Think about buying an asset that the minute you bought it, it's reduced in value by half. And the fact that that might still be too high, it's a bigger question. But then the other problem that's often happening is, you know, we have limits on how much you can raise taxes. It's 3% if you're homesteaded and 10% if you're not. Well, inherently, you're not homesteading your timeshare. Or you can't. So oftentimes it gets dropped to 50% and then they're bumping it 10% every year over and over and over again. So people are literally paying taxes on a valuation that might have an extra zero or two versus what they can pay it for. It's just a matter of fundamental fairness and valuing assets based on what they're actually worth.
Ranking member.
Thank you so much, Chair. Just the point about the resale, I was curious if you know at all, you know, what percentage of timeshare units are owned by developers who are selling them as new units because that transfer does happen. I'm curious if you have any insight to that.
You recognize.
Thank you. I mean, I think every project is different. So to talk about Disney, a company I know a fair amount, you know, they've probably got 15 or 20 of these on their property. Some of them are sold out. The old Key West one was the original one. I'm sure it was sold out a long time ago. Others, the brand new ones, whichever those are, again, I'm not allowed to go and look. But I'm sure whichever one those are probably are mostly new. And so it just depends on the timeshare. Every timeshare is going to be different based on when it was built and how successful the developer's been in selling the units. So I can't answer that question. I don't know.
Question?
Just a quick follow-up, Chair. Would you be open in the future of an amendment to not impact the school funding at all, the levies on schools, just out of curiosity?
You recognize.
Thank you. I wouldn't. And the reason is, while I understand your concern, it is not fair to ask a middle-income or a lower middle-income person to pay taxes on something that's not worth it. Again, if they're driving an old Toyota Camry that's worth $5,000, it's not fair to say, well, you should pay taxes as if it was $25,000 because the schools need the money. That's not a fair thing to do. We often talk about, some talk about people paying their fair share. These people are paying a whole lot more than their fair share. It's not fair. They're paying their unfair share. And all this bill does is attempt to right-size what they're paying. I recognize there's a fiscal, but I would also note, you know, we're giving our budgets are giving these folks an awful lot of money every year to deal with it. But it's just not, it doesn't matter what the fiscal is. In fact, to me, again, the larger the fiscal, the more important the bill is. It just shows you the depth of the problem.
Okay. And one last question, Chair, if I may.
You're right.
Thank you. My understanding is that, you know, the resale value of timeshares, it can also, it's somewhat artificially suppressed by the actual timeshare companies, because reselling a timeshare is, you don't carry the same benefits or perks in that transaction. So, I mean, is it fair to say that the companies themselves artificially keep the resale costs low to trap people in their timeshare? And that's one reason why the resale value is low. It's not meant to be low, but it's artificially kept low.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't know that I agree with that. So let me give you an example of, I think, what you're talking about. So sometimes you buy a timeshare in a building, and as the original purchaser, you have the right to exercise your timeshare at that resort that you've bought your timeshare in, or any other one in the family of resorts. But if you sell it, that person doesn't take that right with them. They only have the right to use it at the original resort that you bought it. But the person knows that when they purchased it. So for it to be artificial or whatever, I would agree with your point. If they sold it and then they said, oops, now you can't do that. The person who's purchasing the timeshare knows that when they purchase the timeshare. That is one of the reasons why a resold timeshare is not worth that much. But I don't think it's artificial, because people know that going in. But that is part of the reason they're not worth as much.
Good. Questions? Representative Barnaby, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Chair Fine, there's been much talk in our state about affordable housing. Would you say that a proper assessment of timeshares would help to lower the cost of housing?
You're recognized.
Unfortunately, no. I mean, a timeshare is not a housing option. No one lives in them. I mean, I guess if you bought 52 timeshares, I guess you could maybe string them together and live there. But no. I mean, these are not people's primary homes. These are vacation homes, I guess, that are used by people who want to take vacations to the same place every year.
Question. Representative Campbell, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And this is my final question. If we were to add an amendment to this bill to ensure that the small companies would get the benefits of this, is that something that we can work on as far as trying to direct that bill so that we're not looking at this and giving big tax giveaways to larger companies like Disney?
You're recognized.
Well, I don't think it's a giveaway to charge someone taxes based on what their property is actually worth. I mean, look, if we want to say as a matter of course as a legislature, I wouldn't vote for it. But if someone wants to run a bill that says, take the value of a timeshare and multiply it times five and then charge taxes on that, that's a public policy decision that someone could make. I don't think it's fair to charge someone taxes on a value that's not real, whether it's a timeshare, whether it's a house, whether it's a car, whether it's a boat, whatever it is that we assess property taxes on. The property taxes should be based on what the asset is worth. And in these cases, it is not today. Doesn't matter who owns it.
Questions? All right, seeing none, there are no amendments to the bill. Public testimony. Lauren Levy, Property Appraisers Association of Florida, like to speak.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do represent I'm the General Counsel for the Property Appraisers Association of Florida, and I guess in all fairness, I also was the counsel for the property appraiser in the case that's mentioned in the staff analysis out of Osceola County. There's actually another case I tried for Osceola County, had a very similar facts, very similar result. And I guess I also am aware that there is a case that was just tried in Orange County involving another timeshare developer. That trial was concluded. No decision's been issued in that case yet. You know, we talked about resale market and developer market. I wanted to just touch base on kind of what that is and why it may work some parts in the state and not so much in other parts. So let me give you this example. If Lennar built a subdivision and started selling houses, eventually Lennar sells the last house, it leaves, and a resale market takes over, what you and I could sell our house for in that subdivision. That's the resale market. That's the same idea in a timeshare. What has happened in Central Florida is that the large timeshare developers have discovered that the money is to be made in selling and reselling and selling some more, and they don't ever leave. The resale market has never developed. And going through all of these cases, the large timeshare developers don't really want that resale market to develop because it would be competition for them. So if you buy a timeshare from one of the large, you know, timeshare developers, and they're the same people that have all the large hotel chains, they would have a right of first refusal. There would be prohibitions on your ability to resell it. That if you're trying to buy it on the resale market, you don't know if you're actually going to be able to use it. You don't know if there are unpaid fees. You can't get title insurance. It is really a grab bag. So in Central Florida, Osceola and Orange County, where we've tried these cases, we've looked through, and the statute says you shall look first to the resale market. What is the resale market? It's about 1% of the total sales activity of timeshares in the county. The other 99% is the developer sales to the individuals. Now, can the individuals turn it around and sell it for what the developer sold to them? Probably not, because of the problems with the restrictions, et cetera, on the resale market. So it says if the resales are inadequate, then you're to look at the developer sales and deduct the extraordinary selling costs and financing costs that was mentioned by Representative Chair Fine. And so the statute gives you a presumptive 50%. In the cases I've tried, that the deduction that's been made is 65-67%, and that's in accord with the information that we see in the available sources. So what we're concerned about this change is it basically says, well, if the taxpayer says there's an adequate number of resales, and we just need to focus on whether there are a reasonable number of resales, and actually tried that case. And in that case, the taxpayer's expert said he found four over 3 years, four sales in the development. The property appraiser had over 600 developer sales in the development. And when you've got 600 good arm's-length transactions versus four that come out of a junkie market where most of it's transacted for nominal dock stamps, it's just not a reliable place to gather data. And the net result is there's a big difference in value. Sure, it's not the property appraiser's job. We're not the protectors of the public purse. But that shows you what a big deal this could be. So our members are worried about that. You know, we do realize that there are a lot of individual owners. The information I have when we went through our cases was an individual owner, their fees, et cetera, each year that they may pay, a very small portion of that is the property taxes, maybe $80 to $100 for a week's worth of timeshare. And so I think the REC said this may result in a reduction of 50 to 75%. You know, you could say, well, that would take them from $80 to $40 or $30 a year in taxes. But obviously the true benefactor would be the large resort developers that have all these units in the inventory. So our members respectfully oppose. I do want to thank Chair Fine for visiting with me this morning about the bill. It was a very professional, cordial conversation. I thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Albert Bolido, Florida Association of Property Appraisers, waves in opposition. That is all of the public testimony you have. Members, we are in debate. Any debate? Ranking member, you're recognized.
Thank you so much, Chair. Thank you, Chair Fine, for answering all of our questions. And I totally respect and understand your position, your perspective. But again, I think my concerns with the major developers that, at least from my perspective, as noted by the property appraisers, they do business in a way to maintain almost like monopoly style structures. It's very difficult for homeowners to get out of their timeshare. And I don't know if anyone else here watches John Oliver, but actually a month ago there was a really good episode just about timeshares that is worth watching because it highlights just some of the consumer experiences not being so good. And the companies that would benefit the most from this would include Hilton, Marriott, Wyndham, Disney, Westgate. And of course, being a representative of Orange County, I am concerned about the fiscal, but I'm also just concerned about the, how these companies operate to suppress the resale values. And I don't think that it's, the most accurate approach, and it's one that does benefit the companies. And this is a tax break for them, more than individual owners. I do have, an idea as an amendment to try to narrow it down to those individual owners. And I would just recommend even adding a line 16 language that speaks to that are not owned by timeshare developers, just to kind of carve out the individual homeowners versus the developers that, as Lauren spoke to, are intentionally, creating an environment where they have more control, where the costs are suppressed, and they deserve the tax break or need the tax break. But if you are worried about those individual owners, then perhaps just add language that says they're not owned by timeshare developers. And so with that, I'm going to be opposed to the bill, but I thank everyone for the time and for the great commentary and the comedic Friday morning. Thanks, Chair Fine.
Debate. Representative Campbell, you recognize.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for this bill. This has been quite interesting. When I first saw timeshares, I was just like, what have I got myself into being on this committee? But it was very good in learning and really trying to dive in and research. I think for me, my concerns are more of this, the negative impact on the county and particularly when we're talking about taxes towards the school taxes and the non-school taxes. That is a lot of millions of dollars that's going to be reoccurring in negative impact. And so I wish there was somebody here on the local level that could have spoken to that or testified to that. But right now, that is my concern. And then obviously the resale value and how that structure will operate. And that, I think that's more of me not knowing how that information implication could impact, and so I have to do a little bit more research on that. But as of right now, the in understanding how this negative impact is going to hit these counties, and I know we're looking at all the state regarding these, and each county works differently and operate differently. And if there's some way that we can have something of a overall design that each impacts, that it won't take a big hit on our local governments. I would definitely be for that. So,
Representative Smith, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Rep. Fine, for bringing the bill. It's clear that there's an issue with timeshares, and I know a lot of our mindsets are on the individual homeowners, but this is not a housing issue, as you brought up. And it's a tax fairness. And a couple of the comments made about local impact, and that should be a consideration. But if we're ever going to fix something structurally with this, now is the time, while our local communities and our counties and municipalities are getting record revenues coming in because of price appreciation of homes and businesses. So if we're going to fix it, now's the time, as opposed to when the economy's turning down and there may be a shortage of revenue. So I applaud you for bringing the bill now. I think we have clearly some more work to do longer term on timeshares in general. But also remember, these timeshare companies, they're not paying the tax. They're passing that right on to the owners of the timeshare. And I would be concerned if they would they would seek a benefit and not pass it down, but I don't think they can do that because it's an itemized maintenance fees, taxes, all those kind of things. Lower the tax on the timeshare company, you're going to lower the tax on the timeshare owner, and that's good for Floridians. So thank you for bringing the bill forward.
Representative Tant, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Reading the bill, I am compelled by the taxpayer having the ability to weigh in on the value of their property. I also like the fact that they're looking at the just valuation of the real estate versus some number that somebody makes up. The question, I also understand where Representative Escamani is coming from and trying to clarify who that taxpayer is. But I do like the idea of it being a regular person versus a corporate entity. But I do think I am compelled by the taxpayer being able to have a hand in this. And so I'm going to be up on this today, but I definitely want to make sure we talk about Representative Escamani's issues. Thank you.
In debate, members? I want to take just a second just to maybe talk about the timing of this being placed on the agenda. You've heard the gentleman representing the property appraisers, and then Chair Fine and I actually have had multiple conversations over the timing of this. I didn't feel like that it was good to put it on the agenda because of the lawsuit that was taking place, but that was settled last Wednesday, I think. And I was intrigued by the whole conversation. Just I think, like a lot of you have, you know, brought up some great questions about it and some great thoughts about it. And so I wanted to get it on the agenda today, just to kind of maybe start a conversation about it going forward, you know, maybe going forward, and at least so that you all can have time to think about it over, you know, a period of time. And obviously there's a huge fiscal to local governments and, you know, all those kinds of things. But I did feel like it had some merit to at least have a conversation before this committee about it. So I appreciate y'all's and your diligence. And with that, any debate, other debate? You're recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I actually think the real reason my brother, Stan McLean, put the bill on the agenda is why I would have to study it on the night of my birthday. So, but thank you all for debating the most controversial bill we'll hear this week on timeshares. You know, the interesting thing we talked about is about suppressing resale values and that sort of notion. The interesting thing, I'd ask you to link the John Oliver. I haven't seen it. He's funny sometimes. But I'd ask you to link that. When you have to work so hard to sell a product, maybe it's because the product isn't worth that much. So are they suppressing resale values, or are they inflating them at the time of sale? I just don't know that they're ever worth a lot. And that's, think about that from a logic perspective. But what does this bill do? I want to be clear. It doesn't cut assessed values. What it says, if you read it, and it's not long, is that if the taxpayer complains, the number of resales is considered adequate when a reasonable number of resales are provided by the taxpayer and supported by the most recent standards adopted by the Uniform Standards of Professional Appraisal Practice. All we're doing in this bill is saying property appraisers have to use the uniform standards that have been developed for their industry. They don't just get to use their own judgment, whatever that happens to be. So there's a timeshare out there called Grand Vista. And by the way, these are the folks who brought this to me. They have 500 resales that they could use to assess value. 500, that's not four, 500. Yet the property appraiser said that's not enough. And so we're going to make up a number. And it's actually the number they're using is four times what anyone could actually sell their timeshare for. Now, if most of these timeshares are being sold back to the original developer, and yet that keeps the market low, that doesn't make any sense. Imagine if every time you wanted to sell a used car, the manufacturer wanted to buy it from you. That wouldn't push prices down, that would push prices up. That's another source of demand. I think the fundamental premise, and it's a much bigger discussion about timeshares, is these things may not be worth a whole lot. And so the question is, should we be making, again, the kinds of people who own these, they're not wealthy people. Rich people don't buy timeshares. Maybe they own the buildings up front, but they don't buy them. And so do we want regular folks who've you know, aspired to get a vacation home asset because they can't buy 52 weeks, they can afford one, do we want them to be paying more than their place is worth? And I think the fundamental answer to that question is no. And hey, if at the end of the day we can do something nice for Disney, we've kind of given them a hard time. So with that, I ask for your favorable support.
Chair Fine, having closed on his bill, Rosa, please call the roll on House Bill 451 and announce the vote.
Chair McClain?
Yes.
Vice Chair Buchanan?
Yes.
Majority Whip Lamarca?
Yes.
Ranking Member Escomani?
No.
Representatives Bankson?
Yes.
Barnaby?
Yes.
Burfield?
Yes.
Campbell?
No.
Caruso?
Yes.
Casello? Casello? Daly? Duggan? Fabricio?
Yes.
Fernandez Barkeen? Hart?
No.
Killebrew?
Yes, ma'am.
Raina Goolsbee?
No.
Roach?
Yes.
Robinson? Roth?
Yes.
Saroy? Smith?
Yes.
Tant?
Yes.
Valdez?
Yes.
Yeas, 4 nays.
Members, by your vote, we'll show House Bill 451 reported favorably. Congratulations, Chairman.
Thank you, members.
Members, now we'll move on to House Bill 1611, City of Bartow, Polk County, by Representative Bell. Representative Bell, you're recognized to explain your bill.
Good morning, Chair McClain, Vice Chair Buchanan, Ranking Member Escomani. Appreciate you allowing myself and Representative Killebrew to present this great bill. It's House Bill 1611. It creates a charter for the establishment of a stewardship district over approximately 17,400 acres in the city of Bartow. The city has issued a statement of no objection to the creation of the district. Importantly, the district area is already an approved sector plan by both the city and the state of Florida. The local delegation approved this unanimously, as did the local administration, federal affairs, and special district committee. And that is my bill, Mr. Chair.
Members, are there questions on the bill? There is an amendment to the bill. We will now take up Amendment 1 by Representative Bell. Representative, you're recognized to explain the amendment.
Thank you, Chair. The amendment removes lines 3913, inserts language changing the date this act will take effect of October 1st, 2023, and that is the amendment.
Are there questions on the amendment? And there are no amendments to the amendment. Is there public testimony on that? There is no public testimony on the amendment. Members in debate on the amendment. Seeing none, Representative, you're recognized to close on your amendment.
We've closed.
Are there any objections to the amendment? Without question, show the amendment adopted. Members, we're back on the bill as amended. There is public testimony on the bill. Gary Hunter, representing Clear Springs, waving in opposition. Waving in support. Thank you, Mr. Hunter. That is all the public testimony. Debate on the bill. Representative Lamarck, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chairman. I'll be real quick. You know, Representative Bell, your chances were a lot better before that guy was standing next to you.
Representative Bell, you're recognized to close on your bill.
I was just asked for your favorable support. This is a very rural area, and it's going to have a great economic impact on our district. So thank you.
Rosa, I'll wave close. Thank you. Representative Bell, having closed on her bill, Rosa, please call the roll on House Bill 1611 and announce the vote.
Chair McClain?
Yes.
Vice Chair Buchanan?
Yes.
Majority Whip Lamarca?
Yes.
Ranking Member Escomani?
Yes.
Representatives Bankson?
Yes.
Barnaby?
Yes.
Burfield?
Yes.
Campbell?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Casello? Daly? Duggan? Fabricio?
Yes.
Fernandez Barkeen? Hart?
Yes.
Killebrew?
Yes, ma'am.
Raina Goolsbee?
Yes.
Roach?
Yes.
Robinson? Roth?
Yes.
Saroy? Smith? Tant?
Yes.
Valdez?
Yes.
17 yeas, 0 nays.
Members, by your vote, we'll show House Bill 1611 reported favorably. Congratulations, Representative Bell. And Representative Killebrew.
Thank you, members. Appreciate you.
Now we'll move on to House Bill 1083, Manatee County. Representative Beltran, you're recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Chairman. Good morning, Committee. This is a local bill to establish the East River Ranch Stewardship District in Manatee County over approximately 1,361 acres in unincorporated East Manatee County. That is the bill.
Thank you, Representative. Are there questions on the bill? There is an amendment to the bill. Representative Beltran, you're recognized to explain the amendment.
Thank you, Chairman. The amendment changes the effective date to July 1st, 2023 to align us with the state and local fiscal year.
Other questions on the amendment? There are no amendments to the amendment. Is there public? There is no public testimony on the amendment. Is there debate on the amendment? You're recognized to waive close?
Waive close.
Are there any objections to the amendment? Without objection, show the amendment adopted. Members, we are back on the bill as amended. There is public testimony. Jeff Woodburn, Medallion Homes, waving in support. That is the public testimony. Members, is there debate on the bill as amended? Representative Beltran, you're recognized to close?
Waive close.
Waives close. Rosa, please call the roll on House Bill 1083 and announce the vote.
Chair McClain?
Yes.
Vice Chair Buchanan?
Yes.
Majority Whip Lamarca?
Yes.
Ranking Member Escamani?
Yes.
Representatives Bankson?
Yes.
Barnaby?
Yes.
Burfield?
Yes.
Campbell?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Casello? Daly? Duggan? Fabricio?
Yes.
Fernandez-Barkin? Hart?
Yes.
Killebrew?
Yes, ma'am.
Rainer Goolsbee?
No.
Roach?
Yes.
Robinson? Roth?
Yes.
Saroy? Smith?
Yes.
Tant?
Yes.
Valdez?
Yes.
Yes. 17 yeas, 1 nay.
Members, by your vote, we will show House Bill 1083 reported favorably. Congratulations.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Committee.
Now, we'll move on to House Bill 1175, Sarasota County, by Vice Chair Buchanan. Vice Chairman, you're recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, members. Members, this bill seeks to create a stewardship district over approximately 2,737 acres in unincorporated Sarasota County. It has unanimous support from our delegation. Local statutory requirements have been met as it relates to the bill. That is the bill.
Are there questions on the bill? You're recognized, ranking member.
Thank you. And I was going to ask this to the last person of all the local bills, so I'm sorry that it's you, Rep. No, I'm just kidding. but something that I noticed in all three of the bills, and maybe I'm reading it wrong, but my understanding is that, you know, typically the voting of these districts is 1 acre, one vote, and I think we're changing that. I don't know if you can speak to that at all for me, and I can talk to staff about it later too, but that was just one thing that I noticed in some of these local bills.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think the goal behind the stewardship district is you could look at doing multiple CDDs or a stewardship district. We also have Gary Hunter here who could answer questions as well.
Ranking member.
I can talk to staff about it later. I'll talk to staff. Thank you.
You bet. Thank you. Questions? Any other questions? All right. Oh, Representative Tant, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative, are you sure you want to create another special district?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd rather see that than multiple CDDs. I think it'd be more efficient.
Questions? You became lively all of a sudden. All right. No, there are no more questions. There are no amendments to the amendment. Public testimony. Oh, I apologize. What? Oh, I'm sorry. There is an amendment. You're recognized to explain the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This amendment changes the effective date to shall take effect July 1st, 2023. That is the amendment.
Thank you, Representative. Members, are there questions on the amendment? There are no amendments to the amendment. There is no public testimony on the amendment. Is there debate on the amendment? Seeing none, Vice Chair, you're recognized to close on your amendment.
Waive close.
Are there any objections to the amendment? Without objection, show the amendment adopted. There is public testimony on the bill as amended. Gary Hunter, Neal Communities, waves in support. Thank you. That is all the public testimony. We're in debate on the bill as amended. No debate. Vice Chairman, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Waive close.
Rosa, please call the roll on House Bill 1175 and announce the vote.
Chair McClain?
Yes.
Vice Chair Buchanan?
Yes.
Majority Whip Lamarca?
Yes.
Ranking Member Escomani?
Yes.
Representatives Bankson?
Yes.
Barnaby?
Yes.
Burfield?
Yes.
Campbell?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Casello? Daly? Duggan? Fabricio?
Yes.
Fernandez Barquin? Hart?
Yes.
Hillebrew?
Yes, ma'am.
Rainer Goolsbee?
Yes.
Roach?
Yes.
Robinson? Roth?
Yes.
Saroy? Smith?
Yes.
Tant?
Yes.
Valdez?
Yes.
18 yeas, 0 nays.
Members, by your vote, we'll show House Bill 1175 reported favorably. Thank you. Members, thank you for your attention this morning to the agenda. This is our last meeting. I would like to give my Vice Chair Buchanan, if he'd like to say anything, he's welcome to, and then Ranking Member, if you'd like to make some remarks, and any other members that would, and then we'll get the heck out of here.
Thank you, Chairman. It's been an honor to serve as your Vice Chair. I think you've done a phenomenal job in terms of leading this committee, bringing an input from all folks and putting together the tax package. I've really enjoyed being a part of that process. And so I want to thank you and thank all the committee members for your great work this session.
Thank you. Thank you, Member.
Thank you, Chair. I'll just add to that. It's such an honor to serve with both my Chair and Vice Chair. I think this has been a really lively committee. Ways and Means gets a bad rap sometimes as being a little dry, a little dull, but I actually think this is one of our funnest committees because we actually get to talk about issues that are not partisan in nature. It's just good government. And so I'm just so grateful to serve in this capacity as your ranking member now. I've been in this committee for 5 sessions, and I'm looking forward to hopefully at least 3 more. And so just thank you for the opportunity to serve and for your leadership in listening to, as Democrats, you know, our opinions and perspectives, and of course, integrating many of our bills into the tax package. I think we have a really strong presentation for the House floor. And I also just want to give a special thank you to the amazing staff who answer all of my questions and do so much to make sure that everything here moves effectively, efficiently, and smoothly. So thanks, staff.
Any other members? Representative Hart, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'd just like to say this is my 5th year. I hope to be back on this committee. This is a very, very interesting committee. I think we literally get to meet people right where they are when we put forth the good tax breaks that we have given the last 2 years. I'm grateful to have sat on this committee, and you all know that back to school was critically important to me, and to see us go from 3 days to 7 days, 2 weeks, I am grateful. So, and there's some other parts in that tax package that are just great for people. So thank you all for everything that we've done here on this committee.
Members, I just want to tell you, it's been an honor for me to be the chair of the committee, and I appreciate the speaker for allowing me to chair the committee. I was on the committee, actually. He was the chair first 2 years I was here. He was the chair of the committee, and so I served then. And now we've always had conversations about taxation issues, and so it's an honor for me to be able to do that. Certainly, I want to thank Vince and Kimberly and the rest of the staff on the Ways and Means Committee. Obviously, they do great work. I know that all of you have had access to them, but, you know, anytime you need to go see them, they're very thoughtful about putting the tax package together, very thoughtful about, you know, how do we strike a good balance between just the regular consumer and then even, you know, businesses and some of those kinds of things. And I think we've struck a very good balance for that going forward. Your comments, your questions, your debate has always been respectful of everyone on the committee, and I appreciate that. And I think that we'll look forward to doing some more good stuff maybe next session. And with that, Representative Ranking Member Escamani moves we rise without objection, so the meeting adjourned.